Welcome to Relatable 2.0 with the experts. We are in the final stretch of our segment, Know Your Worth. In this episode, I'll speak with LaQuenta Jacobs, HR executive, talent diversity, equity, and inclusion strategist at Kimberly-Clark. Q's insight is terrific. We discuss the importance of humility and self-awareness, the importance of feedback, knowing your blinders, and being open to others' observations and perceptions. This conversation will leave you thinking about your own personal board of directors. As always, great insight and advice that is real and practical. Enjoy this episode. Start by officially welcoming you back to Relatable. And for our listeners that don't know, Q's are LaQuenta, Miss LaQuenta. Do people still call you Q?
Yeah, all the time.
Okay, good. Has been on the podcast before, and we have a long form interview where we talked a lot about, and seemingly given what's happened to you recently, we'll have to get you back on again because you've had quite an experience between the last time we've talked and now. But in terms of this next series that I'm working on, Know Your Worth, I thought you would be a great person to talk to because I had thought about someone for the recruiting lens. I thought about someone from kind of being in the business sort of C-suite space and then the mental health professional. And then I thought what would be really cool is someone that could provide that HR generalist, senior, right? Seasoned HR viewpoint, because I think both of us, given that's our career, I feel like we do have interesting vantage point to people at work. And I don't know that people fully recognize. Everyone has, I think, a stereotype of what they think HR is. Yeah. Right. And that's absolutely evolved over the when we first started, it was very back office and, you know, paper driven and compliance. I think we've moved, thankfully, from that, where we are seen more as advisors and we're seen as people that can impact the business. I still think there's an education around what we observe, how we see people interact, and how we can offer some insight to them with respect to career growth and success. And I think, you know, I don't know that people always think of HR people as being able to do that. So that's where I think you and I, one, would jam out on it. Two, we've got a lot of years under our belt that we can kind of riff on a few things. And then you have obviously the added layer of some diversity specific roles. And I know you've moved into a new role now. So maybe we can talk a little bit about that. But I think too, just bringing that into the picture when we talk about some of these themes.
I think the other thing that we have in common, Teresa, when I think about our backgrounds, is the coaching aspect.
Yes.
Of the work that we do. And how that overlays with the HR experience, the inclusion and diversity space, but the coaching of leaders and employees in the space of kind of knowing your worth and building a brand and understanding what it means to be a leader in a work environment and the impact that that has on others.
Yes, absolutely. So that's great. So let's kind of kick it off there. Let's talk about that from one of the things when I just say the phrase, know your worth, and you kind of think about that in the context of being in those roles, right? Kind of those different hats. What are some of the things that come to you, right? That kind of pop up when you think about that and maybe where we see some common themes with our professionals.
So I chuckle a little bit because there was a time, I think, in my career that I didn't know my worth, right? I was functioning in a role, but not really understanding what my worth was in that role and the contribution that I brought to that, especially when I think about myself from a generalist perspective. Mm-hmm. It was functional knowledge, technical knowledge, you know, really needing to be seen and heard from that perspective of a trusted advisor. But then when you take the word trusted advisor and you think about what that means something more than technical knowledge, right?
Yes.
There is a portion of that where you have to know who you are and what you bring to the table before you can advise, coach, and lead others in your spaces of domain. And it became even more evident for me in the inclusion and equity space, because you're talking about preconceived notions and the beliefs that people have about others or themselves and those baked-in biases and what that means from a leadership perspective. So when I think about know your worth, it really starts with humility and self-awareness for me at the
Yes.
core. 10 years ago, you have asked me something different, but today, where I sit, I say it definitely starts with humility and self-worth. There's also an aspect of that that is about knowing your strengths and your weaknesses and your unique qualities. When I think about that from a professional perspective and in my role, know what you bring to the table from an organizational perspective. Know what the organization gleans value from you or from your role. How valuable is HR to the employee life cycle and to the leadership life cycle? How
Yes.
invaluable is inclusion, equity, and diversity to the culture, right? How invaluable is a coach to your personal or professional development? And that's where I say the nugget for me is in know your worth. You have to invest in your learning and you have to invest in who you are to continue to, I call, refine those skills. You also have to be open to feedback. And you have to know that one size doesn't fit all. So you've got to have a high level of emotional intelligence to read your audience, but also gain agreement from the front end of what it is that's expected of you so that you can deliver on that. And then I would say finally, it's a level of authenticity. When I think about successful HR people that I've modeled myself after, successful inclusion and diversity directors or leaders that I've modeled myself after, and even successful coaches. For example, yourself, you were one of my very first coaches. You were my leader, but my coach. But when I think about the qualities that those individuals bring to the table, there's a level of authenticity. You see through the BS, when you see what is not authentic, you see what somebody is toting the line for you as a leader or even a partner. But that authentic person coming to the table provides a level of connection that allows you to really lean into what your worth is and really lean into what the value and the impact that is on the organization. So those are the things that I think of when I think about knowing your worth.
I feel like preach. Because it's so true. And I think just in the way that you answered that question, for people that are listening to this that aren't in HR careers, that you're business professionals in the world in different stages of your career, all of those elements, all of those characteristics translate. And that's why I think we are unique beings in that we ourselves are professionals. Also, kind of in the rat race, in the world of trying to refine and progress and get better and smarter and faster and all those things, just as practitioners ourselves. Yet, I think people don't fully appreciate we have this really cool vantage point. So, all of that intel you just shared is because you've been able to observe and watch people in their careers as an HR advisor and executive to see how they thrive, to see where they show up, and I think we're going to get into this now. Like, where do we see this in terms of gaps? Like, how do we see when we talk about know your worth and the way you've just outlined it, which I think is so good. Now let's talk about, okay, where are the gaps and what do we see where people aren't showing up this way and the impact of that?
So when I put on my kind of HR hat, I
Yes.
think about the pivotal moments that we intersect with leaders and employees' lives.
Yes.
We typically are intersecting in those moments where it really matters, right? Whether it is career guidance or career offboarding, career onboarding, career growth, career correction, right? And providing that space for someone that is off track to get back on track. And coaching them in that space. We
Yeah.
lean in moments that really matter. I intersect that within the inclusion, equity, and diversity space. And what's happened for us are in the corporate realm over the last 5 years. IED or EE or DEI professionals have had to lean in at pivotal points, to help guide the organization around what culture and what empathy really feels like. And as a coach, I've had to help leaders think about their blinders. and where they're not leaning in, and I like to call it where they're not creating HR fellowship. So where they're not, when they're not in the room, what do their teams say? Many times they often think of themselves as, I'm a great leader, but are you? Really? Are you a great listener? Do your teams feel like that? Or did you just coin yourself a great listener, a great leader? And I think at the core for me, it's the lack of self-awareness. It's not taking the time to get the feedback. Many people struggle to recognize their strengths and their contributions, but they also struggle to recognize their weaknesses. And, right?
Yes, and I was going to say it shows up in everyone, no matter how humble you are. Let's do a test on self-reporting, on self-assessments, and everybody self-inflates. It's just human. You
It's
can't
human nature.
help it. You can't help it. It's not, we're not saying anybody out there is just everybody's ego is the driver all the time, but it is true. We all do it. So if that's the case, then are the chances of us really being open to feedback and really being open to constructive thought that may differ from ours? I think we're kind of human, we're built to
Right.
resist that.
Relatable 2.0 is sponsored by TFA Soft Skills, your one-stop shop for workshops, coaching, speaking, and soft skills development. If you'd like to hire Teresa or a member of her team, please visit tfasoftskills.com for more information. And if you'd like to advertise with Relatable 2.0, please email us at info@tfasoftskills.com. Now back to the show.
Yeah, I think I do agree to a certain extent, but I also think one of the best gifts I've been given, and I'm often given, is feedback because it's perspective.
I know.
It's the perception, it's not the perception, it's the reality of how people receive you, right? And you can have all the intent in the world, but if your cadence, your character, your actions don't line up with what you're saying, that perception is void. And so while there is a self-awareness, there's an opportunity for us to think about bringing other contributions along the way. Like, how do others contribute? No leader is 100% everything to everyone. But if you hire for your gaps, you create opportunities for others to stand in those gaps and be able to shine and build those skills.
When I was maybe midway through my career, there was anonymous feedback collected around my leadership. And I remember someone said she can come across as harsh. And I was so first defensive, like, what? And I never intend to come across as, like, I don't think of myself as a harsh person. And yet here it is, like, looking at me. And so you have a choice to either take that in, consider it, evaluate it. Is there some truth? What would you do to change? And I was fairly immature still, I think, in my ability to do that. So I was resistant and I didn't believe it. And then I kind of moved on. And it's shown up in other ways. And it's like, oh, that was a real gift that that person put in there because it has changed the way that I approach things and it did stick with me. And so there is real, it's a gift. It's a, and then to be on the other side of it and be willing to hear it, you know, that's kind of the part that we're talking about in terms of some of the gaps, right? Where people are afraid of
Absolutely.
it or they don't want it, you know?
We have, as I've done this work for many years, things that I've observed is who we are is who we are. And we bring that to our work environment. All of the baggage, all of the things our parents said, all of the things our ex-husbands say, our ex-boyfriends, ex-girlfriends have said to us, right? Our friends have said to us, all of the feedback that we've gotten within our career, it's in a little bag that we carry with us everywhere we go. And sometimes that bag opens up and those things seep out. But if you haven't taken the opportunity to address what is at the core of that, what's the common denominator in that, those things are going to continue to seep up in the bag. And I call what I call they're going to become derailers. You know, if you've ever had a 360, you've heard people talk about what are your common derailers? And they become derailers. They become derailers in your ability to influence and gain buy-in. They become derailers in your ability to create development and bring others along. They become derailers in your communication style. Are you offensive? Are you open to communication? Are you willing to hear others' feedback? Programs and processes that you lead, you become siloed in your thinking that your way is the only way instead of collective and collaboration. And then you also, it starts to hinder at your own worth because you begin to play a game around who I should be versus showing up as who I am. And so those are derailers for me that are gaps that I think leaders don't really recognize the importance of pausing and the importance of what other people's feedback can do to help you shape and lift and continue to create a leadership legacy and HR fellowship.
Absolutely. Okay, perfect setup for let's talk about best practices. And I think you've already teed this up to some extent and what you've said so far. What do you see in your world, your experience, kind of wearing these different hats? How can people, if you are someone that's struggling in this bucket or under this theme of know your worth, which can mean a lot of what we've described already, you know, in terms of whether you're not showing up the way you want to, or maybe it's a confidence issue, and so therefore you're not at your best, or you know, it's something around, to your point, I love your analogy with the bag, because we all have a bag. And so how
Right.
that is in influencing or getting in the way. So what are some things that work? What are some best practices? What are some things that you've seen that kind of give you hope that we can find our way to our worth?
You have to be intentional around closing your gaps, and you've got to be intentional about receiving and giving and accepting. It's not just receiving the feedback, but accepting the feedback. As a leader, I can't tell you how often I ask, how am I leading you, or what am I doing, or what do you need? I think the other thing is it gets into the conversation about equity or equality. Do you have the same approach with everyone? And if you do, you're failing, right? That's not a best practice. You have to realize that everyone comes to the table from a different starting point. And so there is a level of investment in leadership that has to happen that is personal stakes in someone else's success that allows you to be a successful leader. And if you are in this for yourself, you're never going to be a successful leader because leaders create leaders. And so the other way for you to kind of bridge that gap is about learning and training and continuing to invest in yourself. I tell every leader, if you don't have a coach and a sponsor and a mentor, go get one. They have to be on your personal board of directors. I can't tell you how many times, Teresa, I've picked up the phone and called you and been like, okay, girlfriend. Okay. Or people in my circle, right? Where I call and say, okay, give me a perspective. What are my blind spots? You know, it takes me back to our HR people that are listening to this, the Johari window, right? What don't I see that others see? Help me see this. And it has opened my eyes up to different perspectives. And it's given me a strategy to go back in, mitigate relationships, repair relationships, but also grow and foster relationships, both in my team with clients or, you know, as I'm leading and influencing someone. So bridging those gaps starts with a personal investment, first and foremost, and then it goes into those other aspects.
I think too, if you're listening and if you're someone that is a skeptical person, this can be hard. You know, I think the opening up to hearing other people's thoughts, you know, the trusting that they have your best interest at heart. Like, we both came from a very rigorous kind of eat or be eaten environment. And
Heard it.
interesting. I'm doing some like reflection on this now about 6 years later, 8 years later, or however long it's been, and what that kind of did to me and how I operate in the world. Because I think there's a lot of stuff in there because of what that environment was like, where it was like, I said to someone the other day, you know, it's never about, you know, what you just did, right? And they're like, yeah, it's like, if you can't do the next thing well, then you're right. So for those of us that sort of cat, you know, have sort of are innate, or because of our experiences, it's hard to trust. then I think you resist opening yourself up to all the things that you've mentioned. So find your people on your personal board of directors. Like, that's one thing, whether you're a leader or you're in the throes of your career right now, like find the people that you trust and let them know, hey, I need you to be this voice. And you're going to be a safe person for me, because I think sometimes people resist because they are like, oh, they're not going to have my best interest, or I don't want to put myself out there like that.
Right. What I have seen, though, also in that regard, and a caution that I say, is yes, don't shop around for the answer that you want. Right. Because a lot of times leaders will say, well, I didn't get that answer from person A, so I'm going to go to person B. And then person B is telling you the same thing person A said. So you go to C, D, E, and F until you find the answer you want. But don't be afraid to take the feedback, assess it, take what applies. And then I'd say chew up the meat, spit out the fat. Like, whatever doesn't apply, get rid of it. But understand, if someone is willing to give you feedback, someone is putting their personal stakes on the table for fear of retribution to give you feedback, especially in a leadership role.
Yeah.
That is a gift, and that we have a responsibility for that.
Yes.
You can also be blind and not ever ask for feedback, and it catches up with you one day.
Yeah.
Right? Because the higher up you go, or the more you progress in your career, the fewer opportunities you have to make that first impression.
So true.
When you're working under a leader, you typically have safe spaces to make mistakes, and someone else takes the hit for that. But your exposure changes as you get higher and higher into roles, and it becomes very isolated and silent, right? And so your opportunity to get that feedback is fewer and far between. And so if someone is willing to invest in that for you, you owe it to yourself to absorb that and take it.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you so much. This wraps up our Know Your Worth conversation. I think lots of great information and insight. So thank you for this. And we'll be in touch soon about our next topic.
I look forward to it. Thank you.
Thank you, Relatable Experts. Your advice and counsel is so valuable. Thank you, Relatable Audience. Please rate, subscribe, leave comments, and share this podcast with others. Until next time, this is Career Coach T. Stay connected.